After a year and a half of pandemic life, it's starting to feel like the hardest time to make a decision about anything, pandemic related or not, is right now. Why is that? It could be that many of us are experiencing what's called decision fatigue. We're tired not only of making choices, but also just thinking about the choices we have to make. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does this sound familiar to you? Are you struggling to make decisions lately, over the last year and a half or so? Are we overwhelmed by choices sometimes in our modern world? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. It's just one decision. It's an easy one. Barry Schwartz is Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Swarthmore College and Visiting Professor at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. He's the author of several books, including The Paradox of Choice. Barry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be with you, Rob.
What is decision fatigue?
Well, decision fatigue is the idea that as we make choices, it's taxing to make choices. And if you make one choice after another, you get tired. It's sort of like lifting weights, and eventually you can't do another rep. Well, you know, you keep making decisions and you can't do another rep. That's what it is.
I have an example of this when I first started hosting this show. Actually, there was a lot of thinking, a lot of decision making. And then when I'd go to a restaurant, say with my family after, and I'd look at the menu, it was too much. I couldn't make another decision. Somehow I settled into that. I mean, is that what's going on there, this decision fatigue? You just hit a breaking point?
I think so. And, so there are several possible results of that. One is that you don't make a decision. You just you're paralyzed.
I hand the menu to my wife in that scenario, yes.
Or you just listen to what other people order, and then you pick one of those, and you're down from 20 options to the three of the people who ordered before you. Another is that you do make a decision, but because you're not thinking as well as you might, you make a bad decision. And we know that that happens, especially when it's a complicated decision. You simplify it, and sometimes you do it at a price. And the last thing is you manage to make a decision, and you manage to make a good decision, but you're not satisfied with it. You're sure that somehow you made a mistake, that you left a better option on the table. So it's really a mess. And I think the pandemic has really heightened the problem. I mean, this is a problem with modern rich societies, period. Choice fatigue. The book I wrote, The Paradox of Choice, I wrote almost 20 years ago, and we were overwhelmed with options then. It's worse now. But the pandemic has really introduced a new level of complexity to life that I think is wearing people out.
Yeah, can you talk about that new layer of decisions we have to make, not just the daily ones already on our plate, but can I do my daily thing safely? Mask here, mask not there, vaccination, should I go here, not there? How much does that add to our choice plate here?
Well, I think enormously, and especially because these are high stakes, many of them feel like high stakes decisions. So, you know, back pre-pandemic, most of the things we did during the day, we essentially did on automatic pilot. You know, yes, in some sense, it was a decision what cereal to have for breakfast, but it was a decision that you essentially made automatically. Much of our life was run that way. Then the pandemic comes and nothing's automatic anymore. Everything is different. But it was so frightening, and the rules that were handed down were so strict that even though we were terrified, we didn't have a whole lot of options about how we lived our life. You know, everything was closed. So yes, we were scared, but we were not suffering from decision fatigue. Then things start to get better and people start to get vaccinated and things open up a little bit. And now all of a sudden it's, do I go into work or do I work from home? Do I send my kids to school or don't I send my kids to school? Do I go out to dinner with friends or is that too risky? If I go out to dinner with friends, am I willing to eat inside or do I insist on eating outside? These are all new decisions we never had to make before, and they're potentially very consequential. And I think it really has us all running around like we've lost our minds.
Talking to Barry Schwartz, he's the author of books including The Paradox of Choice. We're talking about decision fatigue, a thing that was already there. The pandemic, he says, add a lot more decisions, a lot more gray areas and choices in our lives. It builds up. It is draining, fatiguing, and can lead to bad choices sometimes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about decision fatigue? An example of how it's affected your own life maybe this week. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Barry, are there ways, if we're feeling this kind of overload of decisions, are there ways we can help deal with it, cut out maybe some of the more routine decisions so we can set our focus on the most important stuff?
I think the answer is yes, but in my experience, it isn't easy to do these things. That is, the world is tempting us not to do what I'm about to suggest. One thing is to take advantage of what's habitual and routine in life. Instead of rejecting routine, embrace routine so that you know the number of actual decisions that you have to think about during the day is reduced. And again, as I said, that's what made COVID such a challenge. Most of those routines just exploded. So nothing seemed routine. Another thing you can do is to have a criterion when you're making a decision that what you're looking for is good enough. You don't need the best. Good enough will do. And what that does is it simplifies decisions because you don't have to look at all the options. You just have to look at options until you find one that meets your standards, and then you stop looking. And, you know, so, I mean, think about Netflix. How many movies can you choose from on Netflix? A million? I don't know.
Lots.
And, you know, there's a lot of people, and this has happened to me any number of times. Let's watch a movie tonight. Let's see what Netflix has to offer. You spend an hour searching and you end up watching a rerun of something you've already seen because it's just impossible to pull the trigger. Or you do pull the trigger and you're sitting there as this movie unfolds thinking, oh, I bet there was a better one that I passed up. And the result is, you know, either no decisions or dissatisfaction with decisions. And again, what the pandemic did is it pushed us online all the time instead of only some of the time. And the number of options you face online is essentially infinite. And no matter how big the store is, the actual store, it's not infinite. But Netflix is effectively infinite, and Amazon is effectively infinite. And if that's all of your interaction with the world is on platforms like that, it's easy to see how you'd want to just dig a hole and climb in.
How do we turn off the part of our brain that's evaluating? I guess it's an opportunity cost. I'm watching this movie, but I could be watching a better movie or reading a great book, or I could marry this person and be happy, but maybe there's somebody better out there. Like any decision we make, how do we say, yeah, this one's good enough?
Let me tell you something. If I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't be talking to you. the temptation to visit the roads not taken is incredibly strong. And it's not always bad. I mean, one way we learn to correct mistakes is by paying attention to roads not taken so that the next time when the options face us, we'll make a different choice. That's a good thing. But the trick is to have some control over it so that it's not always kicking in, and it's not kicking in no matter how satisfying and good the choice you actually made was. It's really, really hard not to be thinking about the alternatives. And then you do a number on yourself and convince yourself that the alternatives would have been better. Any little thing that's disappointing about what you've chosen, and you're just convinced that you've blown an opportunity to have a perfect experience.
We're talking to Barry Schwartz, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Swarthmore College, visiting professor at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. He's written a lot of books, including, most relevant to our conversation today, The Paradox of Choice. We're talking about this idea of decision fatigue, where we have to keep making decisions, could be overwhelmed by them after a while. Worse during the pandemic, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have an example of this happening to you? Does this happen routinely after a tough day, say at work or of childcare or at school, and you hit a decision-making wall where you can't do it anymore, or you're paralyzed by the next choice that comes along. Do you have a question about how all this works? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Barry Schwartz, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Swarthmore College, author of books including The Paradox of Choice. And we're talking about what's called decision fatigue and why you may be experiencing it, A, in the modern world, B, more so during the pandemic with an extra layer of safety and health decisions on top of the usual mix. You can join in. Is that you? At 800-642-1234. Have you found ways to make a lot of things more routine? So when you got to make a decision, it's on the important stuff. Do you have questions about decision fatigue? Do you hit a wall sometimes after a day of many decisions? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring in a caller now. Ellen is with us on the road. Ellen, hi.
Hi there. So I'm having a little difficulty understanding the issue because I don't think I'm having that issue. I did find the experience of, you know, having to not be out all the time and doing stuff all the time rather freeing. And so I didn't have to care about the decisions I made. And even now, maybe I got so comfortable with making the decision not to go places that I'm very, kind of, I don't know if this is the right word, conservative in the decisions I do make to go. But I'm also maybe somebody who doesn't live with regrets. So when I do make a decision, it's like, okay, well, I experienced that and, you know, I learned something. I
gotcha, Ellen. And Barry, it sounds like, Ellen, you said early in the pandemic, in some ways, some decisions were off the plate. I can't go to a restaurant, so that's a decision I don't have to make. Ellen seems like took that and ran with it and settled into kind of a new routine in some ways.
It sounds like it. And you know, all I can say is hats off to Ellen. It's hard to do that. And it's especially hard to do that when you're making decisions not only for yourself, but for other people. You know, like, you know, family members. And there are trade-offs involved with keeping your kids maximally safe versus giving them the best educational experience they can have. So if Ellen, you know, there's no question when the pandemic hit, the world of options was dramatically shrunk for most people. And the question is, what happens when the world started to open up? And what I'm suggesting is that, at least for some people, that took the already complicated world of decisions that we had pre-pandemic and added a whole new set of decisions for us. Apparently that didn't happen with Ellen, but let me just say, she said one key thing. She said she's not somebody who worries much about regret. Mm. That is a crucial piece of mental health. if you don't worry much about regretting decisions, then there's less pressure on you to make sure you're making the best decision. You know, you make a decision, you make the best of it, and tomorrow is another day. So not only missed opportunities, but regret really poison us. And Ellen seems to have taken the magic no regret pill.
Ellen, well done.
You should market it, Ellen.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ellen, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Cindy on the line in Bear Valley. Cindy, hi.
Hi. Hey, I don't think I have decision fatigue, but every time I go to the grocery store, after choosing all my things, and then they ask me, do I want plastic or paper bag?
Yeah.
That one always throws me, and I don't care. I can't make that decision.
Well, and is it different, Cindy? Because I know I go grocery shopping. I do most of our shopping. And that question comes up after I've made lots of decisions, red beans or black beans or this or that.
Right.
It's at the end. It's the last decision to make, right? Is that part of the problem?
Maybe that's part of the problem. And it's a small problem.
Well, sure. Sure. And maybe just go in with the plan. I don't know. What do you think, Barry?
Well, I just have to, Cindy, I certainly resonate with this, but there's a wonderful cartoon that appeared in the New Yorker some years ago. A guy is about to have his head chopped off in a guillotine.
No.
And the executioner is standing over the guy, and the caption reads, and he's holding a bag, and the caption reads, paper or plastic. Do you want your head to go into a paper bag or a plastic bag? And it's, you're right. It's like, you know, I've just spent an hour torturing myself, and now I thought I was escaping, but no, you're giving me one more decision to make, and I don't care. And you know, they won't let you say I don't care. They insist that you
actually make
a choice.
Yeah. Cindy, thank you so much. Maybe just pick one before you go into the store. I don't know. Let's go to Kay now in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. I find that I can make a decision sometimes, like, for example, going back to the senior center since they reopened. But my friends or my relatives will question my judgment and say, we don't think you should go because of COVID, you know. And then I said, well, if I don't go, I'll get really depressed because all my friends are there and I'm wearing a mask. And so I don't know if that happens to other people or not, but being judged.
I bet it does, Kay. Thank you so much. And that's a great example, Barry. Another layer of these safety decisions we have to make, but also just about any decision you make, there's going to be somebody to argue with you about it. Is that another layer of what's leading to our decision fatigue?
You know, I think it is. And there's been a lot of attention paid in the last couple of weeks about the damage that Facebook is doing to people, especially to young girls. And I think a little piece of that is that when you're on Facebook, you're being judged. You're being judged all the time, and you take that judgment with you. You know, when you go to bed at night, you have your phone next to you, which means you have all these judges next to you, and it's very hard to turn those judgments off. So I hear what Cindy is saying as a, you know, that's a problem with modern life. The more public our choices are, the more the world gets to find out about them, the more I think we worry not just about what will be best for us, but what other people will think we should have chosen. So you've got this voice whispering in your head about what the world's going to think of you after you make this choice, and that makes even relatively trivial choices feel less trivial. So I think Cindy's onto something. And let me also say one other thing. The three callers you've gotten, I could be wrong about this, but they sounded like they're not kids. And I think the problem of choice fatigue is much worse for young people than it is for older people, because we really do have a set of routines that it would take almost dynamite to get us to give up. And so we manage the choice world much better than young people do. They hate the idea of doing anything out of habit. They welcome with open arms the opportunities to do new things. And I think they are the ones who are paying the heaviest price for the choice explosion.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Barry Schwartz about decision fatigue. He's the author of books, including The Paradox of Choice. Barry, my restaurant example earlier, if I get the wrong meal, who cares? But what about decision fatigue for somebody in a high stakes situation, if they're flying a plane or performing surgery? Are there strategies, are there, I don't know, routines that we have for people to make sure that in that important moment, they're not overwhelmed by decision fatigue?
Well, I think here too, it's mostly habit. You get into, we talk about athletes getting into a zone. And I have a feeling that for a lot of people who do high pressure, high skilled work, what saves them is that they get into a zone. And a lot of stuff that they have to do gets run off essentially automatically because they are so well practiced at it. You know, concert musicians are not making a decision about before they hit a piano key. There's a whole like string of responses that are so well practiced by them that they can essentially run off automatically. So I think that's what saves us. Now, the question of before you start your surgical procedure, do doctors have a problem that there are now, let's say, 8 different ways to approach this particular illness instead of only two. I bet they do have a problem. I bet they do. But the problem happens offline. You know, they solve it before they actually go into the operating room. But I think they are faced now with an, I think less with surgery probably than with drugs. There are so many drugs available to treat the same disease. I think it's a major, major problem for physicians to decide what course of treatment is the best course of treatment for this patient.
Barry, here's a weird thing. Maybe this is just me. When I feel this decision fatigue setting in, sometimes I feel like sugary and or fatty food is going to help me through the candy bar or whatever. Is this magical thinking by Rob, or is there some kind of like nutritional component thing going on?
Well, so this turns out you've put your finger on an extremely controversial research line of research in psychology. I won't mention any names, but there was a suggestion that choosing basically fatigues our self-control. It takes self-control to make decisions, and it gets fatigued, and the result is that you have a harder time resisting temptation. And one of the arguments that people who are doing this work has made is you can boost people's self-control and overcome fatigue by giving them sugar. So, you know, you have people do something that's very demanding, their self-control is waning, and they drink a cup of apple juice, and all of a sudden they're in charge of themselves and their decisions again. This, as I say, is highly controversial, so I wouldn't take this particular result to the bank, but it sounds to me, Rob, like you're effectively endorsing that theory by eating a candy bar.
To be fair, I like candy bars and donuts. So
the worst that happens is you know, you may still be terrible at making decisions, but you've just had a delicious candy bar.
All right, Barry, that's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It was a pleasure.
That's Barry Schwartz, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Swarthmore College, author of books including The Paradox of Choice. He joined us to talk about decision fatigue during the pandemic. So time for you to share your stories, if you'd like, over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.